This is one of those mornings when you're sort of tempted to throw away what you've prepared, because actually just being in God's presence has been so amazing. I was reminded that the first time I met Jesus, I was a little girl, and he called himself the tree man. And it wasn't a good time of life, but he would take me by the hand spiritually into his garden. And while these despicable things were happening to my body, my spirit spent hours with my Saviour in that place. And it was beautiful, and this morning just had that same fragrance of being in his presence. And it is such a privilege, isn't it? Isn't it such a privilege? But we trust that the series we've put together, God's also planned and knew what he was doing today. And so we're going to carry on and see where he takes us. We're about halfway through. We're on episode 6, The Wrong Direction for the Right Destination. God is taking us in this journey through Exodus so that we can learn from Israel's experience of God travelling with them, how he took them from one place to another, how he instructed them so that they could take the promised land. You know, and that's our purposes and our plans in this series, is to see what can we take as we're on our journey. If you've been reading through Exodus, you will know in chapters 13 and 14, which is where we are today, that God reminds them of the instructions he gave for the Passover. There was a payment required for sparing their firstborn. And that was that each of them, from then onwards, would be consecrated to God. They would be his. We see Israel finally leaving Egypt. Their men, their women, their children, their animals, gold and silver given to them by the Egyptian households. We see, I'll pick this up in a minute, but we see how God is multitasking. He tells them at the beginning of Exodus 14 to walk around in a circle so that Pharaoh would think they were confused and change his mind and come out in pursuit. We see God do God in that way that only God can do God. Parting a sea, letting his people walk through safely, and then back to multitasking, bringing judgment on a people that had defiled his name. So that's our story. There's the bit in Exodus. I don't know if you've picked, I didn't pick this up until I was preparing for this. It says Pharaoh will think the Israelites are wandering around the land in confusion, hemmed in by the desert, and I will harden Pharaoh's heart and he will pursue them. But I will gain glory for myself through Pharaoh and all his army, and the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord. It wasn't only the Egyptians who knew he who was the Lord. The Israelites, watching the sea open and close, also had a pretty stark lesson in the reality of the God that they worship. You know, He used the same event to accomplish many purposes. He brought judgment on Egypt. He brought Israel into freedom. and he confirmed his identity to two peoples. You know, the God we worship is a multitasker. I come from a storytelling family. I don't know about your families, but mine is a storytelling family. Whenever we get together, we will end up sitting around the table, normally with a glass of port, and share the stories of life. And we will tell new stories, and they're great. But stories would be told from like generations before. When Nick first married into our family, he was like, oh, I've heard that one before. And I'm like, you are missing the point, my darling. You are missing the point. We tell stories because it confirms our identity as a family. We are a close, big family. And that storytelling, you know, each time we get together, cements that. And now my kids know those stories, and I know they will tell their stories to their kids. And there's a sense of heritage in that storytelling lifestyle. And when we read stories of the Old Testament, they're our family stories. You know, they're not something back then. When I sit in the Old Testament, my heritage is recalled to the front of my mind. Not because I'm Jewish, I'm not. But I've been adopted into this family, and their stories are my stories. You know? And when I read through it, it's like looking at an old scrapbook or family album, and I get excited because these are my people. And so when we read this story in Exodus, this is our people. This is what our God did in our family history. And we need to remember that. When Israel marched out of Egypt, it was not God's plan for them to wander around for 40 years. Okay? That came about because of sin. And it is a different story and not what we're talking about today. But equally, it wasn't God's plan to take them from A to B at the quickest route. Yeah? He knew they were not yet ready to face the obstacles that were going to be in their way. He knew the chances are they would turn back. And so he chose, in his loving kindness, to take them by the more indirect route to the promised land. We need to remember that because there's a really good life lesson in there. I have to resist the temptation to become embroiled in the narrative of this story because it's not what we're doing. But that's why you get to the reading plan to do that, okay? What we're looking at is what was the message God was giving to Israel on this journey, and how and what can we glean from them for our journey? And as I was reading through it, there was two things that struck me. The first was, don't try and second guess what God is doing. He is the master multitasker. And I and we will never be able to fathom all of the plans he has going at any one time. We can ask, and we can listen, and we can hear, and he will share with us what we need to know. And we can trust that what he says is true. But always be aware, there is going to be more going on. The second one was this. Just because I have some idea of the destination he's got planned, I shouldn't assume I know the route he wants to take. The journey is important to God. And if you have been frustrated by journeys in your life, bear that one in mind. You know, we are all on journeys. We've got our individual journeys going on. We've got journeys as families. And we've got a communal one as a church.
And whether you've been on that journey for 4 days or 40 years, we need to know that we do not travel alone. We travel with each other, but also we travel with God. God asks us to walk with him, but he walks with us. The God that pulled you out of the miry clay is walking with you. The God that split the sea is walking with you. The God that healed the lepers, the God that chose that John's body was going to live, the God that chose my spirit was going to live. That is the God we journey with day in, day out, day in, day out. This is not some abstract cosmic thing over there, and actually we just get on with it ourselves. This is our God. And he has chosen to journey with us. Wherever you are at, whatever path you are on, no matter how easy or how blimmin' difficult it is, you are not journeying it on your own. Sorry, got passionate there. You know, God called Israel to follow him into the unknown. And he asks us to do it with him. It is a journey of trust. And the question is, will I go where God leads simply because it's where God leads? When God called Israel to follow him into that unknown, to walk in his footsteps, it was his footsteps. It was a cloud of pillar and a column of fire, but they were following in his footsteps, stepping where he wanted them to go. We have Christ in us, but we are still called to do the same. Will we walk in his footsteps? Scripture tells us, my thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, says the Lord, and my ways are far beyond anything you can imagine. My thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, and my ways are far beyond anything you can imagine. I have a good imagination. But if God's ways are so far outside that, what the heck would I be doing if I stepped somewhere other than when his footsteps are going? How can I possibly think that my limited understanding of something is better than the God of all heaven and earth? Think on it a minute. Israel followed Moses and Aaron out of Egypt based on a promise given hundreds of years before, into a future that they had little concept of. And generally, our vision is as limited. As I've said, we don't have God's mind, so we're never, ever going to have that full picture. But we know he speaks. And we need to be open and we need to listen actively and we need to trust, even if he asks us to walk around in circles, because we don't know the full picture of what he wants to accomplish. God has given us a vision as a church. He's given us a promise. That promise, for all the ways we want to, is to see his kingdom manifest in Basingstoke. Yeah. It is probably not the full picture of what he is up to, but it is the part of his script He has asked you and I to follow. Will we be obedient? That's not a rhetorical question. It's a choice question. Will we be obedient? Will we follow in his footsteps around our town? Will we tell our stories? Will we share our experience of his love? Will we stand with people in our town that need his healing and his justice? Just ponder that for a minute. Will we walk in his footsteps in Basingstoke? Will we tell our stories? Will we share our experience of his love? And will we stand with people that need his healing and his justice? Let me ask a few more questions. I don't apologize. I was going to apologize. I'm not going to. Who are you praying for? Are there any non-believers on your list? That's the easy one. Who did you pray with this week? Who did you share Jesus with this week? They're hard questions, and I'm trusting that for most of you, you ticked those off as yes answers. If you didn't, please hear this. We are loved, and there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And if you're hearing that whisper, shut it out, because it's a lie from the pit. But maybe we all need to endeavour to do more of those things over the next week and the week after that and the week after that. Let's ask the Holy Spirit for opportunities. Let's walk through Basingstoke this week or wherever you are, with intent, with expectation. That glorious, amazing, abundant, loving, generous God we serve has enough for me, and I'm greedy, and you, and every other single person that walks this planet. He has enough. He has enough love, and he has enough grace, and he has enough mercy, and he has enough healing power, and he has enough restoring power. He can tear down walls. He can rebuild foundations. He can heal families. He can heal the blind, the deaf, cause the lame to walk, cause the lost chains to be broken. That is our God. That is our God that we worship, and he is champing at the bit. He is champing at the bit and saying, come on, church. Come on. Sorry. Our obedience has to be more than theoretical. If Israel's obedience had been theoretical, they would have remained slaves in Egypt. There would have been no Israel. And if our obedience remains theoretical, we will miss what he is doing. It will happen. He will ask someone else. I don't want that. I want to be part of it. I want to see it happen in my town and in my family. I want to see and hear God's name rejoiced over. You know, on the final, this is off script, on the final Roman persecution, it fizzled out to nothing. It didn't happen. And you know why? Because the church had such a good reputation amongst the people that they would not buy into it. When Israel left Egypt, they had no roadmap. And I'm pretty sure most of them would have had no idea where they were going. But we can pretty much guarantee there will be some people who thought they knew better and thought they should be walking a different route. And the reality is, if the purpose of the journey was to get from A to B, they'd have been right. But God in his loving kindness sent them on the windy road. In fact, it wasn't even a windy road, it was a detour. He sent them on that detour because they weren't equipped for what was to come, what they would have to face. And so he took an elongated journey to get them ready. And some of you have been on elongated journeys, but maybe you're ready. Maybe the time is coming or the time is now. Maybe God has taught you what you need. He had promised Israel the land, and he had promised them himself. And they needed to trust that he was good for both. We need to trust that he's good for both. His heart is for us. The storehouses of heaven are behind us. The power of the Spirit is with us. We need to trust that he knows best. We need to accept with grace the detours he sends our way so that we too can be ready for what we don't yet know or understand. I laughed when Robin read this earlier. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will direct your path. Do we trust him? Do we know we are loved and that he is always for us, even when life throws its worst? You know, Israel was terrified. They were caught between the Egyptian army and a sea, and they could see no way out. But God had a plan. And Moses said to them, "Do not be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only stand." It's a truth in life that we are often humbled by our children. Some of you will know this young man. This is my son, Nathan, and his new fiance, Taylor. Yay. Unfortunately, Nathan is not well. He has been diagnosed with Crohn's disease. And it has been a bit of a torrid journey. As far as the medical profession go, there is no cure. You can manage it, but it is a lifelong diagnosis. He's been in a lot of pain. And when I asked him about it, how you doing? How you doing with God? What, you know, where are you at? And his response to me was, well, Mum, I've never been ill. So when I've prayed with people, I've never been able to empathise. But now I can. And now I can pray for people with passion. I spoke to Taylor, equally as lovely. A different time, not when Nathan's there, saying, how you doing, Tay? How are you doing with God? You dealing with this all right? Not what you expected when you got engaged? And her comment was, well, in a few months, I'm going to be making this promise to love him in sickness and in health. And God's just given me the opportunity to understand what that means and to say it with true understanding. As I say, sometimes your kids humble you. They're asking God to heal him. They're believing in God's miraculous power. But while God has put them on this journey, on this detour, they're looking to learn what they can to be equipped for what comes next. You know, we're on a journey as a church, and some of you may be asking, Lord, why have you asked me to travel this path? And others of you may be chomping at the bit and going, why aren't we seeing the breakthroughs yet? But I love the concept of God being outside of time. If you think about it, if you're eternal, what is time? And that's another conversation. But outside of time, let's get back to it. It leads me to conclude that God is not so worried about how long it takes for a plan to come together, but rather that it comes together well. What promises are you sitting on? Israel had to wait hundreds of years for theirs, so don't give up. Rather, ask God, am I on a detour? And if you are, ask him to show you what it is he wants to give you on that part of your journey. As an aside, if you don't feel like you're sitting on any promises of God, ask for some. He's very generous. We're a year and a bit old as a church, and we're already sitting on promises. Praise God, we heard about the buildings being sold. That has been a detour, folks. We worship a God who could have sold those buildings like that. Okay, let's not mistake it. That was completely within his remit. But he had us on a detour. We want a building, and we have been on a detour. He's had things to teach us. I would love a building. I've got so many plans. I've got so many ideas for outreach. And it's so exciting. But you know, God has had to be about teaching us how to be the hub. If we'd gone from three churches into a new building, we would have been three churches in one building. That's the reality. Instead, in his loving kindness, he's given us time. Time to remember what has been before. Time to add those memories, as treasured as they are, into our photo albums and scrapbooks. We're not throwing them away. We're adding them to our story. But now, the time is here when we need to turn our minds and our hearts to God's plans for the hub. We need to put our effort into loving one another across the hub. Our time and effort into being one church worshipping God and into living out the vision he has given us to follow. And in this way, we will walk into our promised land. Thank you.